welcome into a special edition of the College Basketball Bonanza. Happy to have you alongside whenever you are listening to us. My name is Nicholas Hodel. Nick Keneally is alongside me via Zoom for this special Wednesday edition of the show. Been really twitching things up. I got our after party out to you yesterday in your podcast platforms. Now this show, part one of two, really. So the next two Wednesdays you're going to get us again. And we're talking about some multi-team events. And I tell you what, this is the second best time of the year. We're going to get going straight away. The Legends Classic, a four-team event in Brooklyn, featuring Michigan and Pittsburgh in round one and VCU and Arizona State. And we both are Arizona State students at the Cronkite School. We've really seen this ASU team very closely and intently. And there is not a lot of signs that I can point to this ASU team even winning a game. And I'm being very honest there. Even winning a game in Brooklyn. I mean, I'm not seeing the consistency shooting-wise to really convince me that they can get the job done. I think 1-1 is the most likely outcome here. But I could easily see them losing to Pitt after they lose to VCU. I mean, I haven't seen enough from this ASU team, Nick, to really convince me that they can make an impression in the Legends Classic.
I mean, yeah, and it's those big issues that you've been seeing throughout the first couple of games. You know, a certain turnover issue without the team, maybe that's a chemistry thing. Inability to knock down those open shots that you would hope these caliber of players are making. And it's things like that rack up. You have some great talent on the team, but you have these consistent issues that are really bringing it down.
Yeah, will DJ Horn shoot the basketball effectively? Will Devin Cambridge shoot the ball effectively? Really, how soon is Marcus Bagley get back into the mix? Because we've been asking that question for years here at ASU. But if once again it's come up again, hopefully something too major like last year was that hard hit he took on the floor against Northern Arizona Thursday. But it is something to keep an eye on. Michigan, to me, Nick, is by far the favorite. This is a Michigan program that's really set the standard. And I probably could have put Michigan above Tennessee in my rankings, if I'm being completely honest, after kind of comparing what I had on Sunday night compared to the AP poll. But certainly a Michigan team that I think is well on its way to a pretty simple MTE championship, if I'm going to be honest here.
I mean, I 100% agree here. They were able to show a lot of what they can do in those late game situations with that last game against Eastern Michigan, especially with Hunter Dickinson just being that main driver of the team, but all the players around them, how they can rally together in those close situations. They're showing a lot of that grit that you look for a tournament team. This should be a very, very dominant performance for Michigan.
Yeah, I look at that Michigan program. I look at Hunter Dickinson as the favorite for Legends Classic MVP. I think he is really, he's become that guy for the Wolverines, and he's going to have to be throughout the season. And certainly against Pittsburgh and likely VCU, he is going to show that. Let's get into VCU and Pittsburgh a little bit. Pittsburgh, they're kind of still finding their way a little bit. I don't expect too much out of the Panthers. But you look at this VCU team, and the reason why I think ASU could have a slim chance in that first round game is because these are two very similar teams. VCU, not a great offense, but a really solid defense. And that could give Michigan some problems. But really, you look at this VCU offense, it's just nowhere near up to par. And you look at that first round matchup with Arizona State, like I mentioned, I've seen nothing that convinced me that ASU can beat VCU. But the athleticism that ASU has defensively, it could certainly give VCU some problems. And that's where I'd be concerned for VCU should they advance to the final, should they beat the Sun Devils. That offense just really concerns me.
I mean, yeah, and they have some solid scorers over the top like Brandon Jones Jr., Adrian Baldwin Jr. But as you go down the roster, you're really missing those key players that you like to see step up during a big situation. We just haven't seen that from any VCU player so far this season. That's really going to have to be something that they figure out if they want to get more of a consistent offense going. But to this point, that's really not something – that's something that they lack.
Yeah, for sure. And for the Legends Classic, for those almost immediately clicking on our podcast after we publish this, first off, thank you. We appreciate that. But you'll see those games in just a few hours with the final on Thursday in Brooklyn. Let's get to the Bahamar Hoops Bahamas Championship. A couple of interesting matchups, to say the least. You have DePaul team in the late game going up against Santa Clara. And then in the early game, Oklahoma State, who took a loss to Southern Illinois, taking on Central Florida, who's had their fair share of up and downs. This DePaul Santa Clara matchup is really intriguing to me. DePaul taking care of Minnesota quite handily on the road. That's super impressive within the Gavitt games. Saw that score just a little bit ago before hopping into the Edit Bay. That one really popped out to me. Certainly thought that DePaul have some problems on the road, but they certainly did not show that. And going into Monday, they've had their way in the Gavitt games in particular, but within the first few games, I mean, they've been without Nick Ojenda, who's been their leading returning scorer and rebounder for this particular season. So DePaul, they are really finding their way. And you look at DePaul going into this tournament 3-0, it might be a team that I think it would be very dangerous to underestimate.
I mean, yeah, and they showed off some great defense today against Minnesota, holding them to 53 points, a decent offensive team in their own right. But it's really coming together really well for DePaul. And they have a lot of momentum going into this tournament. As to where some of these teams, like UTEP and Oklahoma State, you've seen some early struggles with them. And that's something that DePaul doesn't have, that they have some consistency going in.
Yeah, for sure, and it is a super. Anytime you can, go on the road and really put on a great defensive performance. Anytime you do that, that is always going to be a super impressive performance. And what ended up being a 69-53 win. I mean, just looking at where they stood. I mean, Minnesota only shot 33% from the field on their home floor, and 25% from deep. And we look at that without Nick Ojenda, it's been guys, a lot of guys have stepped up, but you look at guys like an Errol Penn, the forward, had a double-double in that game, a Jevon Johnson, who had 20 points of 8 boards. They're really finding their way in that front court, finding some really impressive pieces, and that is certainly to be applauded for DePaul. On the other side of that matchup, a former Arizona State head coach Herb Sendek and a Santa Clara program that has just continued to rise over the past several years. And they've got a really solid guy and Brendan Pozemski, hopefully didn't botch that too bad, but you look at what he's doing over the first couple of games for Santa Clara against Eastern Washington and Georgia Southern. The first player in school history and the first in the West Coast Conference since at least 2000 to open a career with back-to-back 30-point games. That alone is really makes him a key player to watch out for in this tournament.
I mean, I just completely heading the Santa Clara team. You look at these smaller schools, and usually if they have at least some sort of tournament success in these midseason tournaments, it's led by one dominant player. And it really looks like they found their guy here, and it's just who can they put around him? Can they get some spacing going to build the system more around him? And can they find some success with that?
Yeah, and a Monday game against Utah State certainly gives them a good challenge before they go into the Bahamas and get that MTE played. Oklahoma State and Central Florida, two couple of programs who are in very interesting positions, I think it's fair to say. Just looking at Oklahoma State, that loss they took to Southern Illinois. Central Florida taking the overtime loss to UNC Asheville and then really taking it to Florida State. That's a very intriguing matchup, and I don't think it's necessarily one of those two would be heavily favored in a final. I certainly think you have four teams here is going to provide four really quality games between the two semifinals and the consolation and the championship.
100%. And looking at some of UCF's their season so far, that double overtime game from UNC Asheville, I mean, going to their credit, that was just a monster performance from UNC Asheville's Drew Pember. They really couldn't stop them there. But since that game, they've rebounded back very well, showing a lot of great scoring from the whole team throughout the whole season. And I think that they have all the momentum going into this game against Oklahoma State, where Oklahoma State might right now be kind of teetering on the edge of uncertainty, where it looks like UCF is gaining back their grounding here. And I think that they'll be able to prove that in that semifinal game against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and that is a Friday-Sunday tournament on the CBS Sports Network. for that particular event. The Myrtle Beach Invitational, we get into the first of two big time early ESPN event, 8-team MTEs. And the Myrtle Beach Invite in past years has been an intriguing tournament. Hasn't quite been up to the standard as a lot of other tournaments, particularly within the ESPN events portfolio, but it has provided a lot of interesting storylines. I think we have that once again going into this year's tournament. You have a Colorado team who has gone through the ultimate down and then the ultimate up really just a couple nights apart. And, I mean, I can't say enough about that bounce-back performance in Nashville against Tennessee after losing on the road against Grambling. That was a super impressive performance. And that's the kind of performance that gives them so much momentum going into this multi-team event. And you give a team like this momentum, and you really just kind of have to see where it goes, because they get a favorable draw against Massachusetts, could face Texas A&M if all things go right, and you get a Texas A&M-Colorado matchup. Based on what Colorado's done as of late, that could be a very intriguing semifinal.
100%. I mean, just such a great performance that they showed against Tennessee, that upset by double digits. And momentum being such a big thing in college basketball, they should be able to keep carrying this over, like you said, and really make their mark here. Colorado, they've showed a lot of promise. Such a tough loss on the road against Grambling. But they showed that determination, that ability to rebound off a tough loss, get it all together as a unit in the locker room. And I think that's really something that makes this team really special.
Yeah, certainly. And you get that very early in the season. You're just kind of keeping the momentum going. And, well, I mean, you get 3 games in 4 days to try and get the momentum continued. I think that's a great thing for Colorado. Really a multi-team event at the right time for the Buffaloes, I'd have to say. Meanwhile, on the other side of that potential semifinal between Colorado and Texas A&M, the Aggies, newly ranked into the AP Top 25 for this week. Murray State in the first round. I haven't seen a lot from the Racers that suggests that could be a close game. Really the one comparable game for Murray State so far this season against St. Louis. The Billikens really dominated that game and just took control. And Texas A&M, they got a lot of things going right for themselves, Nick. And the Aggies, they're just trying to keep the momentum going after a deep run in the NIT last March, where they were one of those teams and the first ones out of the preseason AP poll. They're in this week, and really this A&M program, I think, could have a very good week in Myrtle Beach.
I mean, yeah, just looking at this quarterfinals matchup, it's almost seemed like Murray State has taken a little bit of a drop-off from the previous couple of seasons. And Texas A&M, after that run, it looks like they can take full advantage of that, really. Just looking at how together of a unit that they've been playing, it's looking great for them in this first round, really.
It certainly is. And really for both A&M and Colorado, that's the kind of draw that I would expect to see Colorado and A&M play in a compelling semifinal. But you never know. It's why you play the games, and especially in these multi-team events. I mean, you really got to think of it as one game at a time, and I'm surely that's what those two teams are looking to do. On the other half of the Myrtle Beach Invitational draw, you have Boise State against Charlotte in one quarterfinal. Charlotte going into Monday against Maryland Eastern Shore. And it's just a situation where you just haven't seen much from Charlotte quite yet. They have last year's Conference USA Freshman of the Year in tow, and Ali Khalifa, the 6'11", 230 center. It's a big man, and he's got that height, and he's got the build to really make things interesting there for the 49ers. But this Boise State team, they really impressed in the first few weeks. You have such a tough game against South Dakota State that could have gone either way, and a quality Jackrabbit team of that. We've mentioned that really time and time again in this program in the first few weeks. And then you rebound like you did against a solid Washington State team that's going to try and contend for the fifth spot in the Pac-12 standings this season. Boise State's got a lot of things going for them. Would not be shocked to see Boise State into the final, quite frankly, with the kind of draw they have. I think there's a lot of things going right for Boise State right now.
I mean, yeah, and Charlotte does have some decent scoring and rebounding over the top. Definitely not a team to just push to the side, but just looking at how Boise State's been just taking over teams. You look at that South Dakota State game, such a strong program that they have coming up. But Boise State just looks absolutely like one of the strongest teams in the Myrtle Beach Invitational. So I completely wouldn't be surprised if they were able to make some light work of Charlotte.
Yeah, and then getting to Friday in that semifinal there, where it would be either Loyola Chicago or Tulsa. This is quite an interesting one to me. I mean, I haven't seen much of Tulsa. I haven't really been keeping track of what they've been doing, but kind of one of those middle teams in the American, just one of those teams you look at and you just kind of go, eh. I mean, you look at within the conference perspective, but Loyola Chicago's had quite an interesting first few games. You have the game against Verley Dickinson that was really tight, had some extra minutes required in that particular game. They're not quite off to a start I think would be satisfactory for the Ramblers. I still think they'll be able to get it by Tulsa, but I'm looking at a very tight game in that 9:30 Eastern window on ESPNU on Thursday. I certainly think that the Ramblers could have trouble with Tulsa. And I think we're looking at the best quarterfinal of the day in this Myrtle Beach Invitational right here.
I mean, yeah, you have Loyola Chicago starting off with two wins, but it comes from like a 7-point victory over UIC, a game where they definitely should have won that game by more, but you had some consistent issues. 25 turnovers for them in that game. They're just showing some definitely some communication issues, maybe handling issues so far to this season. And that's really something that they're going to have to get together by the time this tournament starts if they want to be able to take advantage and win this quarterfinal game. Can they get that sloppiness fixed up? That's going to be the biggest thing for Loyola Chicago here.
Yeah, and against Tulsa, you have a good opportunity to try and work things out in game if you need to before you face potentially Boise State in the semifinal. Where if you really get sloppy against the Broncos, I think they're going to take advantage and they're going to control a game for a full 40 minutes. Certainly think the Ramblers have a good chance to get out of that quarterfinal and into the semis rather than the consolation draw, but you do have a lot to wonder about that. I certainly think it's not a certainty for the Ramblers. What I do think is a certainty to them is that Boise State finds a way to get to the final. I think they're the best team, and what I would call the weaker of the two halves of this draw. To me, it's Boise State and Texas A&M in the most likely final matchup. I certainly think Colorado could play very close with A&M if they really wanted it enough and if they shot the ball well enough, but I think the Aggies have just a little bit too much over Colorado. So you're going to have Boise State, Texas A&M, possible Sunday afternoon final. I think there is some stuff you have to like about A&M more over Boise State, but I would discount Boise State at your own will. I would caution against is what I'm trying to say there for Boise State. I certainly think they have quality players. Not quite the team they were last season, but they're still a quality team that's going to make some noise in the Mountain West one way or another. I just think that A&M just has a bit too much on their side here, Nick, and I certainly think the Aggies are the favorite to win the Myrtle Beach Invitational, and if the Aggies are able to do that, it's just really, you just add to momentum you've built over time, the deep NIT run, this particular event, getting into the top 25. There's a lot going right for Texas A&M right now, and it would be really hard to deny A&M's place as a top 20 team in the country should they win this multi-team event.
For sure. And going back to that point with the semifinal, I really do think that looking at how much more dominant perhaps this top half of the tournament rather than bottom half tournament is, you could perhaps even see a performance from Colorado that can overtake A&M. I mean, just looking at how KJ Simpson's been able to take over for Colorado this year, I wouldn't necessarily be shocked if Colorado was able to make it to the final. And then from that point, you could really take Boise State or Colorado, but A&M just so strong throughout the season. I really think it's going to boil down to this top half semifinal game.
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I mean, Colorado, I mean, they can do it against Tennessee. I surely think they can do it against Texas A&M. So that will be an absolute fun semifinal to get to. Again, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday games for Myrtle Beach, as is the Shiner's Children's Charleston Classic. And it's a shame that we here in Arizona are 2 hours behind Eastern Time, because at 9:30 a.m. Arizona time on Thursday, we have what I think is the best quarterfinal in Charleston. I think the best game of all of Thursday slate in college basketball. It is Furman and Penn State. Penn State is very highly regarded in KenPom analytically. You'll see a lot of power conference teams that are highly regarded analytically that just don't get a job done in conference play. Could that be the case with Penn State? There's a lot of time yet. I think that is yet to be determined. But this team certainly has talent to get that job done, between guys like Seth Lundy and Andrew Funk and Jalen Pickett and Cameron Whitner. They're all seniors on this team, and junior Caleb Dorsey have so much experience in that starting rotation for Penn State. They've really kind of been there, done that. And I mean, the first two games, 93 points against Winthrop, 90 against Loyola Merriman. Their offense is going, with at least against the majors, and that's what you got to do in that particular instance. On the other side, though, is a Furman team that you look at that program and where they were so close to breaking their long NCAA tournament drought, one of the best teams in all the Southern Conference, and right in that top 70 in KenPom. So the Furman Paladins, they're not a pushover. They're a quality basketball team. And I really look forward to this matchup of two teams who would really use a win and get themselves into that winner's bracket. For Penn State in particular, I think that's going to matter quite a bit. They're going to knock off Furman. I look at this as a very quality basketball game here.
I mean, just looking at how Mike Bothwell and Jalen Slauson have been able to take over the early into this season for Furman, it's really going to boil down to them on how they can play in this first game against Penn State. I mean, Penn State, you mentioned they have the numbers going for them analytically. It's just, can Bothwell and Slauson be able to break into that defense? And then it'll be, how can the other players, how can Foster and Witt, how can they add more with their spacing ability? Their spacing ability. Can they just be able to overmatch them? Can they use all of their players to be able to just take them down? I think that they have a – I think you can't write off Furman in this. I mean, Penn State's such a big school, but you can't write off Furman in this quarterfinal matchup.
Yeah, I don't think you can either, but just you look at Penn State's backcourt, all the experience it has, and you have two players in Cameron Whitner and Jalen Pickett who have had 1,500-plus points, 500-plus rebounds, and 500-plus assists in their collegiate careers. So the amount of production they've had was so, so impressive. Not even including senior Seth Lindy, who is one of the Big Ten's best defenders this particular season. A lot of things going right for that Penn State roster, and this is the first major test of the season for the Nittany Lions. I just don't think Butler's up to par compared to Furman. I think Furman on a neutral court could beat Butler, to be really honest with you there. And you get the early game, 11:30 a.m., how the players going to react. That's something you always got to wonder with these early start times in a multi-team event. Certainly it's going to provide a lot of intrigue, and I really look forward to seeing what both those teams end up doing. And just looking further in that particular half, Old Dominion and Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech does provide a very solid basketball team for sure. I think they should handily get by Old Dominion. I think Furman and Penn State would both have a very competitive basketball game with Virginia Tech. I like a lot what the Hokies are doing. They're right in that ACC mix, at least within the mid-pack, trying to fight for NCAA tournament berth, perhaps come February and March. Certainly a good amount to like about the Hokies, and they're a team that is one of the better ones in this field.
I mean, yeah, you look at the three wins so far, and they've been pretty dominant, and especially in their scoring ability. It looks like you have some great scoring top to bottom in their roster. And it's that scoring depth that really takes it over to the top for the Hokies here. Whereas I don't know if you can find as much of that with Old Dominion, just going line for line down the roster. Just better scores, in my opinion, for the Hokies. They've done a really great job so far into this season with shooting. A great amount of their starting players, their upper rotation players, have been able to knock down the three ball so far in this season. That's exactly what you want to see so far. And I think all the difference in this tournament.
Yeah, and for Virginia Tech, you get them a much easier draw in this particular tournament. How much could a emotionally exhausting Furman Penn State game, drain the winner against the Hokies. I think that could be something to take into consideration. And again, that's another early tip that Friday semifinal in that half, a 12 Eastern tip on Friday. So definitely a game that is going to be worth watching, both those semifinals, particularly Furman and Penn State. A little bit further down the bracket, you have Colorado State taking on South Carolina. Good start for Colorado State so far against Southeastern Louisiana. A start-to-finish lead for the Rams. They did their job. Very tight game against Gardner-Webb to start the year, so they've already showing some signs of improvement. Though, again, I don't think they're quite the team they were last season, the Rams. And certainly one of those programs that could take a little bit of time to get going. South Carolina, one of those teams that could struggle being the SEC this season. We'll have to see how that ends up going. Certainly think those are two programs, Nick, that could use a very positive Charleston Classic to get some momentum going for their season and entering the month of December.
Yeah, I mean, and South Carolina stumbling into a couple games early on to the season, a 3-point win against SC State, a 2-point win against Clemson. You know, they're barely scratching the surface of what they could be as a team, but it looks like they just haven't really been able to get much momentum going into those wins. It's their wins, but those were tough wins. And I think on both sides, really, this tournament is going to really shape how they go for the rest of the season, because just not the greatest of starts.
Absolutely there. And on the other half of that particular side, Davidson and Charleston, it's not necessarily too much better of a quarterfinal to start there. It is at the later game. You look at Charleston in particular, you know, their game earlier on Monday against Richmond went into overtime. A 92-90 win after Richmond came back. I believe it was 1 point. Trying to really confirm it. It was over 20 points that they had to really work from. They had to come back from, I think it was about 19, 21 down or something around that point to get that game tied in overtime. So fair play to Richmond for that. But you look at our Charleston program, who's 2-1. Played a very solid game against the number one team in the country in North Carolina. Some things are going right here for Charleston, even if they may not show sometimes. And again, you have the home court advantage in this multi-team event. That is something that should not be taken for granted. Charleston, I don't know if they can beat Davidson, but they'll have a good shot at it.
I mean, yeah, it'll be extremely hard to beat this Davidson team looking just at their scoring ability, especially from Foster Lawyer. I mean, what a great start to the season he's had. He's been knocking down threes. He's been getting it done from the inside. And that's going to have to be the main focus for Charleston in this one, is who can you put on Lawyer? And then are you going to be able to stop the great shooters that are around him? I mean, they have some great spacing on their floor, which is going to make it hard for them. And locking them down from behind the arc is really going to be their biggest problem in this one.
Yeah, I certainly think you're looking at a situation where Davidson should take that game. We'll see where Davidson ends up against the potentially Colorado State or South Carolina for that matter. Really solid stuff there. I just think it's going to be one of Penn State or Virginia Tech winning this MTE. Certainly believe that top half of the bracket is a much stronger half. And you get the winner of Furman and Penn State, and more than likely Virginia Tech. Really one of those semifinals that you could consider a de facto final for a lot of reasons here. But I certainly think that early semifinal is going to tell you a lot about who will end up winning the Charleston Classic, Nick.
100%. I mean, a lot of perhaps momentum with the Hokies with that first round matchup against Old Dominion. I think they'll be able to take advantage of that, and hopefully for them, it will be able to carry into that really, really tough semifinals matchup against whoever they get.
Absolutely right on that one. To shift our focus now to two of the better four team invitations you will see on this first week of the MTEs. The Continental Tire main event is probably the best of the bunch as far as the four teamers go, with two of the last three national champions in Baylor and Virginia, and then UCLA and Illinois taking up the nightcap. And it's a Friday-Sunday event. Baylor and Virginia. Virginia, of course, going through absolute tragedy on their campus, of course. Very heavy hearts on that campus, and we certainly wish really the entire University of Virginia community all the best as they really go through a tough time with the loss of three of their students, student athletes, and within the football side of things. Very, very emotional scenes at Virginia. We certainly wish them the best, but in the university, they had to cancel one of their basketball games in the lead up to the Continental Title main event just to kind of really get the what the emotions really go through. But there will be no time to rest against the Baylor Bears because Baylor is a phenomenal basketball team. The talent they have between guys like Adam Flagler and the freshman Keyonte George, he has been impressive. And Jalen Bridges and LJ Cryer, so much talent is on this Baylor team. And I honestly believe that Baylor is the favorite to win the Continental Tire main event. It will not be an easy one for sure for the Baylor Bears, but you just look at the talent. And it is an absolutely phenomenal kind of talent team, and certainly a program that can absolutely get the job done, particularly against Virginia, but also against either UCLA or Illinois.
I mean, so such a talented roster already going through the year, and then adding Keyonte George, such a big recruit pickup for them. They have they're one of the best teams in the country. They've had a great start to their season, shown an immense amount of scoring from wherever, as you mentioned. They have great scoring. Not to write off UCLA though, they are also going to be one of the top teams as well this year. And they of course have a tough semifinals matchup against Illinois too. It's not a guaranteed finals berth for them. It's really going to be an entertaining tournament. You could see Baylor winning this one. I personally am kind of leaning towards UCLA taking this one home, but definitely going to be one to watch with full attention.
Yeah, for Baylor in particular, well, as we are recording this on a Monday night, Baylor is well on its way to giving Scott Drew his 400th win at Baylor. Such a good sit at the job he has done with the Bears. And of course, Virginia having to cancel their game against Northern Iowa with all the emotion going through campus right now with the loss of some of their student athletes. You wonder how the emotions are going to play into that game. You know, we're talking on a Monday. It's a Friday night game. Of course, a Wednesday by the time you get to this, but you look at I mean, what will the emotions be running high still at that point? Will they use that to fuel them and give the campus something to celebrate? I mean, I certainly think that if Virginia is able to pull this off and win the Continental Tire main event, it's gonna be a huge celebratory mood on campus after just the lowest of lows with the loss of life on the University of Virginia campus. So I absolutely believe that Virginia, they're gonna have really the memory of those kids in mind, and they're gonna have the entire campus in mind as they really try to give the campus a very happy moment and a very tragic scene. So do not discount Virginia. They got a lot to play for. They got a lot of pride to play for, as well as quality wins on a neutral site. And you mentioned UCLA and Illinois. UCLA has been cruising, as has Illinois, really through the first several games on their schedule. For Illinois in particular, you're looking at Terrence Shannon. We've talked a lot about him on the program really throughout the years now that we've done this on our podcast platforms. He's averaging 19 points per game going into Monday with 6 rebounds and 3.5 assists per game. Coleman Hawkins as well has also been phenomenal for Illinois with 14.5 points per game, 7.5 rebounds per game, and also 2.5 assists per game. And you look at a team like UCLA, they just have so much going for them, so much experience. It's a team that I absolutely think is going to be very, very impressive. So there's a lot of good storylines with the Continental Tire main event. I think it's the best of the bunch as far as the four-team MTEs go. Could be the overall best of the bunch. I mean, you have so many great MTs that we'll talk about later on this program, also next Wednesday for that special edition of the show. This is right up there. You got four ranked teams, four really great programs. That's gonna be a blast on a Friday, Sunday schedule. That'll be really fun. As will be the Hall of Fame tip-off tournament It's been one of those tournaments in recent years that has gotten a lot of great teams to go into the Mohegan Sun Arena in Connecticut and play some quality basketball games. And you get that here with Maryland taking on St. Louis and Providence taking on Miami in the first of two rounds. Quickly to get to St. Louis. A lot of what I think about this program going into this multi-team event is going to depend on their game against Memphis. Again, we are taking the time to record this before that game. But it's a big game for St. Louis. And they've done a lot of things right in the build-up to that game against the Tigers. And another one there would really give them so much momentum. And I think St. Louis is one of the favorites to win this whole thing. I mean, they've got so much great talent between Yuri Collins with his assist ability. It is off the charts. Javonte Perkins, just about how well he's been able to score the ball. Javon Pickett has been very good with two double-doubles in the first two games of the season. I like a lot about that St. Louis team. And it is really hard to not see St. Louis taking a big step up in a lot of people's eyes. Maryland's a team that, while I think is a quality team, I don't think they're up to St. Louis's level. I mean, imagine against Providence or Miami in the final. I think St. Louis could do themselves a lot of good for the resume over the course of the weekend.
I mean, yeah, and you just look at the roster for St. Louis and how many different players can bring such great different things. I mean, Yuri Collins averaging over 13 assists in his first two games. This is, of course, prior to Memphis, so this is through their first two. You have Perkins, he has those 17 points. Francis Okoro is doing some great rebounding. Gibson Jimerson, some great scoring. You have some great talents on your team that gives you so many different abilities. And the way that they've been able to put it all together so far for their first two wins has been phenomenal against Murray State and Evansville. And depending on that Memphis game, I think that if they can secure a really good game there, they can use all of that momentum of those first three games to kind of cruise them towards this Hall of Fame tip-off.
And even if St. Louis loses a close game to Memphis, I think they will have done the right things. They know what they would know what it takes to compete against a good team. They need to find the extra and oomph to get them over the line. And I certainly think they could find that if it comes down to that. Providence and Miami in the other semi here. Providence has a good start to the year. They got very, very fortunate against Ryder and followed that with a dominating game against Northeastern. You look at what they've done with Jared Bynum, some great experience you have there. Noah Locke, one of the better transfers they got out of Louisville. Ed Crosswell as well is a very solid player. Bryce Hopkins is also a fantastic player. So you have a great team for Providence, as you do for Miami. And if it weren't, I mean, it's a shame that college football has that game booked all the way down on ESPN News, because I think that could be one of the better games of all of the weekend, to be quite honest. Both these teams bring such different styles and different talents to this game. I think it's going to be a very tight game.
Yeah, especially loving the Providence Friars going into this season so far. Two pretty solid wins here. That first game against Ryder, I mean, really went down to the wire, 1-point win. But they showed a good amount of depth on their team. You know, they're able to stay on top of the ball pretty well. They were able to learn from their mistakes. Maybe it shouldn't have been that close of a game. So they were able to keep that going against Northeastern, and they're really finding their footing this early into the season. I think that they will be able to keep that going. And they'll be able to really be able to test that against Miami, such a great program throughout the years. It'll just be, can Providence keep finding their will?
Yeah, and like the Continental Tournament event, you're going to get four quality games out of the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Tournament. Big difference though, that tournament's a Saturday-Sunday tournament. Over to the Maui Invitational. It is the midweek. It is Monday through Wednesday, which we'll get a lot of time to try to pick some of the first round games on our next show on Sunday, live on Blaze Radio through blazeradioonline.com. You get a look at this, and the way this is set up, you have really, I view as six really good teams, a Cincinnati team that they can sneak up and take a game if they want, And then you got Louisville. And then you got a Louisville program that is just going into the Maui Invitational. It ain't pretty, Nick. It ain't pretty.
I mean, definitely, we've talked about in the last two shows the early struggles for Louisville. Of course, their exhibition loss to a D2 program, and then two really slow starts to the regular season for Louisville. And this is not going to help them at all. I mean, just going against such a great talent in their first round matchup, it can't be a great situation for the Louisville.
Yeah, that Arkansas roster is loaded, and in the consolation bracket, they'll get either Texas Tech or Creighton and lose that game. I think it's likely going to be Texas Tech. I mean, without Fardal's AMAC, it's just really hard to see that Texas Tech team in the same light. But you look at Creighton, what they've done, they did kind of struggle against St. Thomas. Ended up cruising to victory in the end by 12. And I personally thought that Arkansas and Texas had definitively better weeks than Creighton. They really recovered in a big time way against North Dakota and really got themselves a very solid job done there. I mean, all five of these players in the starting lineup, Ryan Nebhard, Ryan Kalkbrenner, Trey Alexander, Arthur Kaluma, Baylor Shireman, they all provide their own individual traits. And I think that makes Creighton such a dangerous team in this Maui Invitational. It's likely going to be them and Arkansas in a semifinal. And that's going to be one of the best games that we'll see in the 2022 portion of this season, Nick. Should we get that semifinal?
Of course, you know, Creighton already going into the season with such high expectations, and they've really been able to fulfill that. Baylor Shireman's been stepping up with his two-way abilities. You look at the rebounding he's been able to provide for the team. Kalkbrenner, you look at the scoring he's been able to provide as well. Everyone is doing their role so far for Creighton, and that's really everything you wanted so far. And that's really going to be able to carry into this invitational for them. And things are looking pretty good. I think that they'll be able to handle that first round match against Texas Tech.
Yeah, and Ryan Kalkbrenner in particular, one of the players being considered for the Nathan's Award at this point in the year. So he's got a lot of talent to go along with him. You go to the bottom side of this bracket, it's Ohio State against San Diego State. And the Aztecs, I love that team. Just the way they're able to really perform against BYU and come back through adversity and win that game. I think that shows a lot of character for a team. And early in the year, the more you can show that character, the more I really am going to appreciate it further on down the line. And for San Diego State, they got a lot of great players, really solid talent. And Ohio State's going to be a tough matchup, but really within this half of the draw, I know Arizona's lurking down there, but discount San Diego State at your own peril once again because the Aztecs, they're right up there in the rankings and they will do some damage if you are not careful.
100%. I mean, you saw such a great showing with them, with their last win over BYU. Just looking at their roster, just some great scoring, throughout that whole game. And you've seen the things that you need to see with this team. And that's not to also discredit Ohio State. Two pretty solid wins so far, but I think San Diego State just has that spacing ability that's really can carry them throughout this invitational. They're one of my favorite teams in the country to watch. So definitely a major plus for San Diego State.
Yeah, I mean, players like Nathan Mensah, who can be really dominant. Matt Bradley, who, while he's had a slower start to the season so far, he really has an opportunity to try and pick things up, especially his shooting. If he gets hot in Maui, watch out for him. Garion Trammell has been phenomenal as well with 19.5 points per game so far this season. The preseason newcomer of the year, the Mountain West Conference, really has shown off his talent in a big-time way. I mean, Lamont Butler is also a phenomenal player for the Aztecs. Just so much great talent for San Diego State this year. But I think they're going to have a very great Maui Invitational. They may go 1-2. They may go 1-2, but they're going to have a quality tournament. They're going to get three quality games, assuming they defeat Ohio State, of course. But even then, I mean, Cincinnati is not a terrible team in their own right. And then, assuming you win that game, you're going to probably get either Texas Tech or Creighton at that point, assuming they beat Louisville in the consolation. I think there's a lot of good things to like about this particular tournament. And it's just the way I view this bracket here, like I mentioned, I view it as Creighton over Texas Tech, Arkansas handedly over Louisville. I view it as San Diego State over Ohio State. I view it as Arizona over Cincinnati. Arizona, San Diego State semi would be one of the better semis I think Maui's seen in recent years. Of course, the tournament returning to Maui. I think that's also a major storyline to follow, that this tournament is back in Maui after spending a couple years away from the island. And you look at it, Arizona versus San Diego State in a possible semifinal. I think there's just a lot of stars out on that floor, Nick, between those two particular teams. And it will be must-watch television.
I mean, yeah, and I absolutely raved about Arizona in the Sunday show, as I did pick them as my team of the week. Just some great talent top to bottom on that floor. I think Tubulis he's one of the best, the premier players in the country. He's been doing a great job at leading Arizona so far. And how he'll be able to step up and lead this team in this Maui Invitational will show a lot about him, about his character, about his leadership as a player. And it'll show a lot for this team. And I'm really looking forward to that potential matchup against San Diego State, because those are just two teams I love to watch. But just Arizona has been red hot.
Yeah, and it's the same thing also with a possible Creighton-Arkansas matchup as well. I really like that matchup. So you have the potential for both Maui Invitational semifinals to be some of the best games you will see in the 2022 portion of this season. If you had to make a call right now as to who you think will win the Maui Invitational and over who in the final, who would you call it for?
Right now, I would probably have to pick. I'd go with Arizona over Arkansas right now for my finals pick. Two great teams, but I'm red hot on Arizona. They're red hot, and I don't see any of these teams being able to stop them. Of course, it'll be some great games in the semifinals and the finals for them, in my opinion. But I think that they'll be able, they just have that finishing ability, and that they'll be able to take that the Invitational.
Yeah, if it is Creighton, Arkansas, and San Diego State in Arizona, my advice would be to not bet any spreads on those semifinals, because you're going to get two great games. It's just going to wrench your heart. It's going to mess with your emotions. Don't do it. You heard it here first. Don't do it. But yeah, I just think Arizona, with what they've proven so far in the early season, they've proven that they are a really strong basketball team that is capable of somehow going from where they are right now to being one of the best four teams in college basketball. I certainly think with the talent they have, with who's performing, with how things are going, that Arizona's doing all the right things, that they can really catapult themselves into that discussion as one of the best teams in the entire country should they win this Maui Invitational. It's a little hard for me to make that call in really both of these matchups. I think Arizona does have that slight edge over San Diego State. Creighton, Arkansas, for me, is a toss-up. I think it's a toss-up. I mean, I like both the rosters. Would not be shocked to see Arkansas or Creighton play in that final. Would not be surprised to see either one of those teams defeat Arizona in the final. You just have so many quality teams, and this is what the Maui Invitational does. It brings together some of the best teams in the country in college basketball. It puts them through a gauntlet, and those teams all come out better for it. And I expect that at least two of these teams, Arizona, Arkansas, Cincinnati, Creighton, not you, Louisville, Ohio State, San Diego State, and Texas Tech, I expect at least two of those teams to make deep NCAA tournament runs and possibly get to Houston to play for a Final Four. I certainly think you have that kind of caliber in the Maui Invitational. They do a great job every year of getting that caliber, and they've done it once again. Two more tournaments I want to talk about. One a little bit more than the other, that one being the Empire Classic. Not quite as good as the Legends Classic, in my opinion, but you have some solid teams here between Syracuse and Richmond and St. John's and Temple. This is Monday-Tuesday tournament in the Empire Classic in New York. And let's just start with Syracuse first within the conversation of this particular field. They've had their first game go really well for them against Lehigh. Some solid talent here. It's not quite to the level as the top teams in the ACC, but you can certainly see a scenario which the Syracuse team just kind of hangs around in the bubble, hangs around there. Somehow Syracuse gets that magic late in the year, and they typically do typical Syracuse things, but it's hard to see it right now, but I certainly believe that they have just as much a chance to win this tournament as the other three teams in this field, Richmond, St. John's, and Temple.
I mean, yeah, just looking so far at Syracuse through their very young season, some great scoring over the top. Looking at Joseph Girard the third, he's been really able to lead the team in scoring. But you have great other options. You have Jesse Edwards. You have Judah Mintz. Some gr a great big three there in terms of scoring, at least so far of what we've seen. And that could be enough when you throw in their other pieces, of course, to be able to take them through this classic. I mean, they all bring a lot of great scoring in their own right, and it'll just be exciting to see what they'll be able to do for Syracuse.
Yeah, the sample size is so small, but after that Lehigh game, you do have to like what you see out of Syracuse. They're facing Richmond, who went through the thriller against Charleston, couldn't quite pull it off in overtime on the road, but I'm sure they learned a lot about themselves and the character they had to get back from close to 20 down and get that game to overtime. That comes after a couple of wins to start their season against VMI and Northern Iowa. And you just really have a program that is solid within the grand scheme of things. Projected middle of the pack in the Atlantic 10. They may not quite have the MT that they were hoping for, but there are some players I think that can certainly make some impacts in this tournament, one of them being Tyler Burton.
100%. Just such a great impact player, the way that he's been able to lead early on into this season. Can he keep this going into the MTE and really prove that much leadership ability? We'll have to see. But it's just a lot of faith going into this one.
Yeah, and one of the things also for Richmond, they have a freshman by Jason Nelson who scored 21 points against Northern Iowa. The most points by a Richmond freshman in a November game since 2017. So he's already doing some great things there. He could be one to watch for the Spiders. How about St. John's? A program that is usually one of those teams that maybe you think can get themselves into a good spot and get into the tournament. Hasn't quite worked out that way for them in recent years. But once again, they have that talent between players like Andre Curbelo and Posh Alexander in particular in the backcourt. Really solid stuff. Their first two games have gone swimmingly against Merrimack and Lafayette. They have a couple of games after from the time we record to their start of their Empire Classic against Central Connecticut State and Nebraska in the Gavitt games. But you look at a potentially 4-0 St. John's team in the Empire Classic, it's really difficult to take St. John's out of anything special here.
I mean, yeah, just such a great backcourt. Then you add that onto with the front court abilities of David Jones and Joel Thuriano. It's just all really seems to be meshing together pretty well for St. John's early into the season. And I'm really looking forward to seeing them in this tournament, because I really think that they can take advantage of what they've been able to do so far. I think they are getting things clicking. And I think that they can really make a mark on this tournament because of how they've been able to m mesh so early.
Yeah, and real quickly, the final team in this field, Temple, they're coming off kind of the roller coaster start, the overtime loss to Wagner, the upset win against Villanova. They'll have Vanderbilt and Rutgers to deal with before they get to the Empire Classic. You know, Temple, they are making some strides, and also St. Johnstown is gonna be a fun game to watch, as is Syracuse Richmond. You got four teams I think are just kind of like really tight knit to each other right now, and that usually makes for a fantastic tournament. I want to mention the Paradise Jam real quickly. Buffalo, Drake, Howard, and Wyoming. Wyoming taking a bad loss to start the year against Southeastern Louisiana. Tarleton and Belmont, Boston College and George Mason. Not too impressed by any of the teams in that field, but I do think whoever wins the Paradise Jam will have a good amount of momentum to take with them into December, and that usually means quite a bit in situations like this, and they are going to have quite the scenario for them. I think it's a Saturday and then a Monday and a Tuesday within the winners bracket. So that'll be quite the fun time there. Again, that will do it for us on this special edition of the College of Basketball Bonanza. We'll be live again on Sunday on Blaze Radio at 7 o'clock Arizona time on blazeradioonline.com. We'll have a lot of talk about Myrtle Beach and Charleston, the main event and the Hall of Fame tip-off in particular. A lot of the games from the Champions Classic. Gonzaga playing two great games. A lot of talk coming on Sunday. But for now, that's all we got for you. For Nick Keneally, I'm Nicholas Hodel. We'll talk to you then on Sunday night. Have a good weekend with college troops, everyone.